Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
If there's something in broadcasting called the Mark of Cain, or actually it could be the mark of the Archangel Michael, I don't know, depending on the response of the listener. But this is something we did years ago during my time doing the morning show at New Jersey 101.5. And it caught on, something we very spontaneously did, and it caught on and became kind of a Christmas legend for some reason around Christmas time. Everybody or people would call and say, play mouse balls, play mouse balls. So what was that all about? Well, here.
This came in. Kim got this off the fax machine. And this, according to this, the person that sent it in said, I thought this was pretty funny. This is a true, and I'm not going to give the name, it is a giant major computer manufacturer ordering information, quote, from one of their catalogs. This is an actual alert to the company field engineers that went out to all branch offices. The person who wrote it was serious. All right, here's how it goes. And it's, the subject is mouse balls now available as field replacement units. Yeah. A recent shortage of replacement mouse balls is now over. Mouse balls are now in stock and available as FRUs, field replacement units. Therefore, if a mouse fails to operate or should perform erratically, the necessary ball replacement may now be accomplished in the field. Because of the delicate nature of this procedure, replacement of mouse balls should only be attempted by a properly trained person. Okay, before proceeding, now here we get down to this. Before proceeding, determine mouse ball type by examining the underside of the mouse. Domestic balls will be larger and harder than foreign balls. Ball removal procedures differ depending on the manufacturer of the mouse. Foreign balls can be replaced by using the pop-off method. Domestic balls are replaced by using the twist-off method. Mouse balls are not usually sensitive to static electricity. However, excessive handling can result in sudden discharge. Upon completion of ball replacement, the mouse may be used immediately.
The reason I bring that up is I'd like to introduce you to the cast. Come on over here. My two former dear friends and colleagues is Mike Lavelle. Mike was my partner for many years, and nowadays you have to clarify that. It was my professional partner.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah.
And Jill, of course, Jill's still with the station, the traffic reports that she did. Mm-hmm. But you were the guys that you heard in the background of that. Jill, your laughter was just, you could just play that alone and people would laugh. And Mike, of course, was the engineer. He ran the board, and he's the guy. I didn't know he was going to do this. Somebody handed me that, and I thought, well, you know, this looks serious. He understood
yeah.
It wasn't.
Right, exactly right. Yeah. The funniest part was making Jim crack up, making Jim break up.
But Mike was sitting with a stack of tape cassettes we used to use with sound effects on it.
Yeah.
And so that was mouse balls. But anyway, I asked them to join me today, and we'll just sit and reminisce a little bit about the station back in the. What to us was the golden days of radio. No, Jill's still active, still here.
Yeah.
Mike is in the car business, Eastern Automobile Exchange in Hamilton Township on Coozer Road.
Right.
You were always a car nut,
no matter what. It's in my blood, unfortunately.
Even when you're working with me, you were hustling cars on the side or something.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start here with one golden memory, if I can. We were on television for 7 years, the first day we were on television, this is true story, because we'd never done this before. We were radio people, and we'd never done anything like this, and so we were set to take calls, and we had the cameras on, and we had a crew and everything, and so, you know, you get the signal, and I take the call, and here is an elderly lady, or it sounded like it, saying, somebody tell that young man back there to stop scratching himself there.
Yeah.
So Mike was the first person that was noticed. But we had to stop and think.
And you and I were talking about this earlier. you know, the microphones and the cameras were just incidentals. You know, we would come in the morning, and I think the goal was to entertain each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we were shocked to find out we had listeners or viewers when they called in.
Yeah.
But it was
yeah.
it was really entertainment for us in the studio.
But we had to curb our entertainment because we had gotten used to using our hands for certain areas of communication. Yeah. You know, like if a caller acted whack. What I had in mind was... That kind of a gesture.
Yeah.
I don't know about the Inquisition.
I was trying to gesture to you. Yeah. We got to get this caller off the air. Yeah.
I spent 26 years pushing the wrong buttons, and I haven't gotten over it yet. Yeah. What any memories that you have of that that would stand out, or any impressions, or
there's a lot. And here's what boggles my mind all the time. Our listeners. They have unbelievable memories, mm-hmm. and so they'll come up to us and they'll bring up different memories that we had of the station. Do you remember the one that stands out? Do you remember the 1 hour we did on UFOs?
No,
you don't remember that. There was lights over. We got the first call. Our overnight man Willie Twyman called and said, he said, Mike, we're getting a lot of phone calls. I don't know what this is about. So I took one of the calls in the studio. And we came out of the 6 o'clock news, and I said to Jim, let's take these calls. And there's mysterious lights over Newark, and we were tracking them. There were some limo drivers that were tracking them. And then when I got off the air, I got a phone call from one of the UFO groups in central New Jersey who had me in as a guest speaker, and I brought in the tapes to listen to, for them to listen to as well. But we did it for almost an hour and a half, tracking these lights. Eric had called the airports. Scott, our news director, called the airports, called McGuire, and there was no one had any idea what these lights were. And then they suddenly, as soon as they appeared, they were gone.
Jill, mm-hmm. what pops into you? You know, we could sit here forever, I guess, going back. And we do often.
Absolutely. Remember the miracle at Marlboro?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
That just blew
the Virgin
my
of
mind.
Marlboro. Right. I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes. Because we were just joking that my headphones are pretty old. They're
my headphones.
These are Michael's headphones. But as you can see, there's like an impression here on the side that
it's like
it's indented. These are so old that the plastic is coming through, and it looks like you could see.
You've seen a holy image
space.
In your headphones.
Exactly, and that's what happened at Marlboro. What was the
Maybe your memory is better than mine, but it was in a regular neighborhood in Marlboro.
In a backyard.
Yeah, a lady said that the Virgin Mary came and talked to her in her backyard.
Right. And appeared in the backyard.
And it spread, and it got to be huge.
Marlboro. The neighborhood was inundated with people.
Yeah, they had problems.
Yeah.
And the town, it got so bad, the town made them put porta potties around.
Right.
So I could picture this porta potty with a steeple on a cross on top of it.
Yeah.
I don't know that they went that far. Yes. I don't know what happened to that. It went on, and it all of a sudden it stopped.
I think it was a woman.
The church stopped it.
It was a gentleman, and his name escapes me right now. But it was a gentleman. It was in his backyard.
Yes, but it his wife. Now people would come and congregate. They jammed the backyard.
Yes, they did.
And then the lady would sit there,
as if she was having
a conversation with Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw it,
or
heard the other side of the conversation. But people, I guess, wanted so much to believe.
To believe, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
it was like the scene in Forrest Gump, you know, when he was running.
He just
kept running, and people were following
him.
He goes, I just felt like running.
That was a good one. I tell you one that stuck in my mind, Mike. See, we were all obviously young then. You were very young. You guys weren't married at the time, as later you became. We both worked here, but later you were married and raised a beautiful family.
Thank you.
But you had worked three jobs. You always were very resourceful. You usually worked two or three jobs.
Yeah.
And one of them always had something to do with cars, really. But you had this Mustang. You would work, you would save, you would scrimp, and you got a Mustang. And all of a sudden, one day, it was gone. It was stolen.
It turned out
it was stolen by a kid from Trenton he and his friends were just joyriding.
Exactly, yeah.
They got it back. But somehow, and I don't know how we managed this, we got the kid on the phone with you.
Right.
From the
They're from prison.
From Bordentown,
yeah,
I guess.
Exactly.
In jail.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the kid, I guess, was it was a decent kid. It's unfortunate. But he got on the, and you were explaining to him, you know, asking, why did you steal the car? I said, do you realize that I worked all of these jobs, right. I put in all this? The kid did not understand that.
He honestly did not understand
why you have to go through all of that just to get a car.
That was shocking. He said, it floored me. It absolutely floored me. Well, he said, well, I wanted it, so I just took it. It didn't occur to him that, you know, it was against the rules or there was laws against it. He wanted it in that moment. And, you know, so he thought, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Amazing. It just shocked me, that attitude.
And it was the, I guess it's been called the banality of evil, how some very bad things are done in almost innocence.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the kid sounded like a perfectly nice kid.
Right.
But in his mind, in his culture, I guess, that's what you did.
That's what you do. Yeah. You want it for that moment and, you know, instant gratification.
Yeah, you remember the time that, who was the state treasurer that used to come in, and he later the mayor of Woodbridge, I believe. Oh, my gosh, how quickly you forget.
Exactly.
But he could mimic your traffic reports. Perfect.
Oh, nice.
And he came in, and he'd sit down, and, you know, he'd just say, you know, welcome, mayor, and he'd. First, New Jersey traffic south. And he would go through. So you were very famous.
Is funny. Tony, who works here now at the station, said, and her father's been gone for 10 years. She said, my dad watched you guys and loved you, you know, in the morning. And he had a crush on you.
A lot of people
did. So sweet to hear that.
A lot of people did.
There were a lot of times, too, we forgot that, you know, when the mic went off, the camera was still on.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you
that
know,
was
that was very dangerous. Yeah. Yes.
It was the males, men, actually paid not too much attention to the cameras, but the ladies did.
Mm. Oh, sure.
You and anybody else who was involved in
that. We had a news anchor that was a female news
Mary
anchor.
Jo,
who was very short.
Yeah.
And she would actually sit under the control board on a step stool, putting
yeah, we
on,
got a,
putting
a step
on
stool for
her.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Well, having a little trip down memory lane, a little memory lane music here as we put on our tutus and our pink leotards, you know, and waltz down memory lane. And I'm Jim Gearhart, of course, along with Mike Lavelle and Jill Mara, recalling some of the great days, the golden days of radio. But first, I'm Jim Gearhart, speaking for my very, very good friends at CSI Group, CSICPA.com. You can get the story and you can meet these great people, Peter and Sandra Greco. They got the sons, Joe and Robert, John and James, and, of course, all of their associates. Peter and Sandra built this up from back in the 70s into one of the largest financial institutions in the state of New Jersey. And I have to thank the CSI Group because after my accident, when I was pretty much on my own, you know, financially, had it not been the fact that Peter has handled my finances for a good number of years right now and had things set up, and I was very pleasantly surprised that, hey, you can make it. You can sit on the veranda of stately Gearhart Manor, lobbing silver dollars at the mockingbirds, sipping a julep and relaxing, thanks to the CSI Group. And these people can do wonders with your estate planning, too. I know we talk about them with the taxes. Talk to the CSI Group. Talk to Peter and his family about estate planning. They will set up a program for you that will certainly set you through the hard times when they occur. And even if they don't, you can make the good times even better. So talk for estate planning, any financial service, really. I urge you to do what I do because it's worked so well for me. And that is talk to the CSI Group, Peter and Sandra Greco. And that is at CSICPA.com. Go there and you'll see these wonderful people and all the great things they can do. So give them a call or talk to them. CSICPA.com.
Yeah, there were a number of animals too. I just remember, you know, we had your dogs sometimes, but also then animal stories with the tiger lady. Was that Joan Maris?
Oh, I got to do that sometime, but that's such a sad chapter.
Yeah, that was just crazy because here's a neighborhood called the Preserve. You know,
well, we had, and the guy that brought the Vietnamese pig in,
Remember that?
And, yeah.
It was weird. And put him on a stool right beside me with a microphone.
Yeah.
And I would talk to the pig, and the pig would kind of look at you intelligently and oink, you know, a response.
Right.
I had a hat on and everything. Right. Yeah.
But we had the most fun with Alan Casper, I think, just especially, you know, rewriting his copy sometimes. But one particular birthday, remember, the Mendokers big bear came in, a mascot. And then I remember Eric Scott gave him a salt lick because Alan loved his salt in the morning.
Yes, yeah.
But then when somebody walked in with a sheep.
It's a sheep.
And it piddled on the floor. And I thought,
well, you know, and we used to, one of our sponsors and got to be very good friends was Mendokers Bakery in Jamesburg.
Do you remember the harvest pie?
The harvest pie.
Holy mackerel.
This was ecstasy.
Yeah.
It was,
it must have weighed 25 pounds to begin with.
It would come in a huge Pyrex bowl.
Yeah.
And it would have everything under the sun in
there
except the 4 and 20 blackberries.
I
somehow expected a slipper to jump up.
Yeah.
They were big. But what I wanted to say, we used to go up to visit the bakery.
Yes.
And Mike and I would try to time it when they were making their cannoli.
Unbelievable.
What, batter or whatever you would call
it. Yeah, the filling. Yeah.
We'd go up and see if we could lick the bowl, you know, when they were mixing it.
Yeah. I said to Jim, if you see I'm in head first in the batter, pull me out.
You're getting by the feet out of the cannoli batter. That was, and we call it the golden days of radio. The thing is, the station was absolutely amazing from the start, the way it took off. But everybody gave us a few months or maybe a couple of years and then, but there's going now 27, 28 years
it's
later.
It's unheard of in
and
radio.
The station gets bigger than it. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we shared the first 25 years or so of the thing.
Especially, you know, there's nothing like bonding through a snowstorm.
Yeah, we all had to stay.
Or a few times I remember, especially I was pretty new. You know, I came in after you guys were already formed. And we were off the air for some reason, but Alan Casper is out in the yard with what looked like to me a lawnmower. And he's pulling the string.
That's the generator.
That was the generator. I said, this is how we're powering the station.
Yeah.
But it worked. I mean, we got that back on the air, you know, and we got it going.
Well, this group. Now, Eric Scott was, of course, with us. Eric's still here.
Yeah.
Alan Casper, the unsurpassed.
Unbelievable.
Weatherman.
Yeah.
And one of the nicest people who ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
Jill and Bob. Bob Williams is here.
Still here, yeah.
And, of course, Mike. And
our call screener.
Kim Thomasone.
Kim Thomasone, yes.
Yeah, and we had others.
Oh, the Adina days.
Sarah
they
McCary.
Were always fun.
Adina,
yeah.
Well, you know, it's amazing, Jim, out of this, and this is unheard of. We were colleagues, we were fans, and we became friends and family also through these years. Lorenzo and Stephanie.
Lorenzo Caldera,
yes.
Who ended up being a general manager for a while. I didn't even mention the St. Swiggins Day party at Vince Ordini's house. I don't know if I dare.
You can, it's a
podcast. My recollection is Vince had a swimming pool. It's a big above-ground swimming pool. And somebody at some point said, my God, there's dolphins in there. Well, it was actually Mike and Eric Scott skinny dipping. And they were mooning, you know.
Yeah, but they were so cute. They were jumping out of the water and diving back in.
Just like a herd
like
of dolphins.
Yeah. I do remember eating a Jello shot off of the top of your head.
So many things I'm sure
we
I don't remember.
Jello
on
that. It was alcoholic Jello shots, and they were in molds, like shaped like little animals.
Eric came up with some concoction. He said that they make in Buffalo where he came from, and he ended up giving a bowl of it to my dog. I had Bruno, my Rottweiler, who had a hangover for a week.
We had that. There was something we nicknamed Devil Water. Someone handed me this cup and said, here, drink it, but don't breathe after you drink it. Eat this chip.
Was that the brandy?
I don't know what it was.
That was Kim Thomasone. Is your great,
yes,
such a great person.
Yeah.
And this was at a party that we had, and she had some kind of brandy that this was like bottled napalm.
It was, absolutely,
Beth Shavitz, who was a salesperson.
Yes, exactly.
I remember suddenly she was trying to give me a wedgie.
Yeah.
And the best was like towards the end of the night, we all convened in the den because one person was missing that night, and that was Alan Casper.
Alan Casper.
The reason we all convened in the den was to watch Alan because he was doing weather
in New York. Exactly.
On TV.
On television,
So we were watching him,
Alan was amazing. Do you realize Alan Casper got, he was the leading weatherman at WCBS and also some CBS networks. So he was 24 years old.
Incredible. Isn't that incredible when you think about that? Absolutely.
When he started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was such a great bunch.
The other memory, Nunzi and Nunzi's wine.
Oh, yeah.
Nunzi Ripa.
Nunzi Ripa, who was a candidate for governor.
Yes.
Who also made wine, and he used to bring the wine up.
Yeah, but he brought it in orange juice bottles.
Yeah.
Or whatever bottles he could find, really.
It looked like iced tea, so sometimes it would be in the fridge.
Well, you know,
and I remember, I think I took a gigantic swig of it one morning. I was like,
Well, worse than that, Eric and Janet, his wife, they had spent a weekend up in the Poconos in the winter.
Remember that?
And they couldn't get back somehow. I didn't think they could, but because the car seemed to be out of, you know, the coolant was
right,
down.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
In the winter, and of course, they don't want to put water in it. And so he remembered he had a jug of Nunzi's wine.
Right, yeah.
And he put this jug of Nunzi Ripa's wine.
It doubled his antifreeze.
And got home in record time. But Nunzi, God bless him, he was a candidate for governor.
Yeah.
Running on an independent ticket. He's doing quite well, too, and he was a great person.
He was. You know why? What was his advice?
I was just going to say, I wish I had this recorded because I'd love to be able to use it. His campaign motto seriously was, Mike, let's...
Yeah, go to Trenton and beat the hell out of all of them.
Let's all go to Trenton and beat hell out of everybody.
But that caught on.
Italian accent.
Yeah.
but here's what's amazing. That caught on. That's why he was doing very well in the gubernatorial race.
You know, in the beginning of that, people took us seriously. We'd do some of this stuff and the politicians were shaking in their boots.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know that we actually, ended up doing a service because the politicians figure out, you know, we have to go on to something else. All they have to do is squat down and we get tired.
Hunker down. How about Chuck Haitian?
Chuck Haitian, who was the speaker of the assembly.
Yes.
And later, I think he was the head of the Republican Party. He used to come in and he'd bring big bags of popcorn.
Remember? He ran. Remember we came up with the song because his name was so hard to pronounce or write. So we came up with the song, Chuck Haitian, remember? But some people would call him Chuck Haitation. That was how his name was mispronounced.
A woman saying it. I like that, Chuck Haitation.
Yeah.
I was going to play something here, but maybe I'll try to do that a little bit later, speaking of that. Yeah, there's something related to that I was about. There were so many things that happened. It's very hard once you. It really is like packing, 50 pounds of memories in a 20-pound bag.
Yeah, absolutely,
But I don't know. It was such a great time, and I think we understood it.
Remember the time when the profiling came out? Remember?
Oh, yeah, the racial profiling.
Racial
frenzy.
And Jim was one of the only guys that stood behind the state police at the time.
Yeah.
So I had a state trooper. Remember, we did the governor's show, and so the detail would come in all the time. And one of the state troopers said, you and Jim can drive as fast as you want anywhere in the state, and you will never get a ticket because, you know, they're trying to show their appreciation for. Our stance was, you know, what's right is right.
Yeah, yeah. Someday I want to sit on this podcast and get into that because there's so much in it, but it was such a shameful episode.
Right.
And we were very happy to stand with it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it was such a great time and so many memories. We haven't scratched the surface yet because, this is deadly because I'll go home or on my way and I'll start thinking of all these things. Damn it, I should have said that.
The debate that we had broadcast, and this is back in the day where we did not have the technology that we have
now. Didn't, no.
Yeah. And
that was an interesting debate. It's funny you brought that up because we were just talking about that. So, we would get up very early to do the morning show. So somebody said, why don't you go home, Mike, get a nap, and then come back. Eric and I were going to reconvene back here later in the afternoon. But there was a vote for one of the gun laws going on in Washington. So Lautenberg. It was during Senator Lautenberg and Chuck Haitian. It was supposed to be their call-in debate. Mm-hmm. So I get a phone call out of a dead sleep. Mike, get in here because Frank Lautenberg can't leave Washington. So we had to patch him in somehow. We wound up getting him one of our affiliates to broadcast out of a booth. And Chuck was in the studio. Not only were they debating, but we're also taking calls from listeners. So,
which nowadays sounds like no big deal, but yeah, there was no technology. Internet.
Yeah,
there was no technology, no internet.
So the news Channel 6, Channel 10 got wind of it, and they wound up coming in filming the entire debate. That was an exciting night.
Tell you what, take a little bit of a break. Maybe we'll keep on with this. That okay by you? Okay. So we shall see you again in a moment.
Great.
Hi, I'm Jim Gearhart, and absolutely delighted to get to talk with you again on behalf of Rob DeKansky at RE/MAX First Advantage. Rob, of course, is the agent, as I've told you so many times, that I would call without thinking twice if I wanted to sell my home. Rob will guarantee to sell your home at a price and a deadline that you agree to, or he'll buy your home. And working with Rob does not obligate you to anything. If you think Rob's not doing the job, and very few people have ever thought that, Rob will let you out of the contract. You're free and clear. You walk away friends. Now, how about this? Rob picked up an expired listing in Carteret where another agent had no success even after 199 days on the market. But with Rob's aggressive marketing and long list of qualified buyers, bam, sold in 12 days for top dollar. The Wall Street Journal ranked Bob the number one agent in the state of New Jersey and in the top 75 agents out of 1.2 million in the entire United States. Good man, good business, do great work. Call the agent I would call if I were selling my home, Rob DeKansky, 855-350-1015, 855-350-1015, or go online to robsellsnj.com. And boy, does he sell NJ. robsellsnj.com. Then you just go home, you get the boxes from the liquor store, and you start packing. Talking with Mike Lavelle, my former partner, professional partner, of course, and Jill Myra, my partner on the air.
Not that there's anything
you mentioned that Jill was the pulchritude symbol when we were on television, and people used to you said that you would ask about who's the blonde.
Right.
Yeah. I did that. I was sitting in a car dealer one day waiting for a car, and some guy came in. It was actually a Porsche dealer. So this very well-dressed person came in and was elegantly coiffed, you know, and dressed. And somebody had introduced me to him and said, you know, he's with New Jersey 101.5. And he says, yeah, well, who's the blonde with the big I guess, brain, I think he was going to say.
Right, exactly,
very intelligent person.
Right.
And so, but it was...
That was fun. I had two pregnancies, you know, throughout that 7 years.
Legitimate
ones.
Yeah, exactly. Not because of car dealer visitors or anything.
I got the same thing once, Jim, and someone said the same thing, and I had to pause, and then I said, well, that's my wife. Turned several shades of red.
I meant the big ring, the big ring on the finger.
I'm sure you did.
I'm sure you did. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I remember when I was little, there was a doll called Growing Barbie. It was kind of like controversial at the time because you cranked her arm and then she grew boobs. And I just felt like that, you know, as I grew a child and, you know.
Here's something else we did. We had to depend on you because Jill could sing. I had not. I'm what they used to call a monotone in school. They'd make me go sit in the hall, you know, in the school when the kids were singing. But Jill can sing, and we wanted to put this together. It kind of expresses the taxpayers' situation in New Jersey and became something of a state song. And the three of us actually recorded, you'll remember that it was...
Bohica, Bohica, bend over, here it comes, Bohica, Bohica, again.
Gotcha. All right, come on, old time's sake, let's do it again.
Bohica, Bohica, bend over, here it comes, Bohica, Bohica, again.
There we go.
Yeah. Class. I love the classics.
I love the old songs best. You mentioned Chuck Ataian, who was a great fella. He was the Republican member of the legislature. Right. He was the Speaker of the legislature for a while. And he was running. He ran for the Senate. I think he ran against, who did he run against? Frank Lautenberg.
It was dirty. That was a dirty campaign.
Dirty
remember
campaign,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was running against, and Chuck Ataian, the Republican, he got the endorsement of the state PBA, the Policemen's Union. And the president of the union, don't remember his name right now, but he made the announcement, and they had a big press conference that they were endorsing Chuck Ataian. And so somebody had given him this little thing to read.
Yeah.
And he came on with this famous bit. And he said that they ringingly endorsed Chuck Hitation, who was an unwaving Tunnicholas Alley of the state police. Yeah. So we tried to figure that one out for him.
Remember, Chuck he required very little sleep. He would get 3 or 4 hours sleep a night, remember? And the guy's full of energy. What a nice guy he
But, you know, interesting, too, we got to know all of these people pretty well. Christy Whitman.
Yeah.
When she was governor, was in here all the time. She'd done a show with us. You knew Christy very well. Because
we did the show at night, and then she'd come in the morning.
Yeah. We did the Ask the Governor show at that time.
Exactly.
Eric had gone to New York for a while. And you were one time, Christy was making some kind of a major address with a big crowd of people. Mm. And you had gone over. You were so way in the back somewhere.
Yeah.
And Christy Whitman, here's the governor in the middle of a major thing, happens to spot you, says, "Oh, hi, Mike."
Yeah.
So we and all of these the political figures at the time, you know, would pass through here.
Yeah.
And
here's what's amazing. Remember, we had Governor Florio in.
Yeah.
And after all those years of Florio free in '93 and everything else. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be what a gracious person he was, too. Remember, he'd come in and do the election night coverage or just came in did a couple guests.
Yeah, that was after, I guess.
And then he even said, he said, "Wow, if I knew it was like this, I would have been on more often." Remember?
Yeah.
And what would that have done
in 93? Well, we were great with governors during their first term.
Yeah.
But after the second term, they didn't need us anymore. Politicians' only relationship with people is, "What can you do for my career?"
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And when we couldn't anymore, we couldn't scare them up. But you couldn't beat them away with a stick, during their first term, when they're running for re-election or something. Listen, it's been such a great pleasure. I know so many more things we could talk about, but I think I was in the mood to...
Memory lane.
Memory lane.
Yeah.
Just little traipse down memory lane. Thank you. Jill Myra, you'll hear Jill, I guess, mornings.
Yep, on, absolutely.
Doing Traffic South. Mike Lavelle.
Yeah.
We'll be very happy to put you in a nice car at the Eastern Auto Exchange.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
This was great.
Here's Brian Sedillo now, my professional partner on this venture. And Brian's going to tell you about a big contest we have coming up. I think that'll interest you.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, we have your chance to win a pair of Beats headphones by Dr. Dre from New Jersey 101.5 and the Jim Gerhart podcast. See the Beats contest at nj1015.com/contest and find the box with the date, today's date, 6/22, and enter the code RETURNS, RETURNS. For a chance to win. Stay tuned. We'll release more codes and more chances in next week's episode of Speaking Millennial Forever 39, the Jim Gerhart podcast, and the New Jersey Guys podcast throughout June. Good luck from New Jersey 101.5.
Thanks for listening to the new Jim Gerhart podcast.
Still cooking, and it's bigger than ever.
From NJ1015.com.